A man was in bed with his wife when there was a rat-tat-tat on the door. He rolls over and he looks at his clock, and it's 3:30 in the morning. I'm not going to get out of bed this time, he thinks to himself, and he rolls over. Then louder on the knock, knock, knock comes. Aren't you going to answer that? His wife asks. So he drags himself out of bed, goes downstairs. He opens the door, and there's a man standing at his door. It didn't take the homeowner long to realize that the man was drunk. Hi there, slurs the stranger. Can you give me a push? No, get lost. It's 3:30 in the morning, and I was sleeping. And the man slams the door on him, goes back upstairs and tells his wife what happens, and she said, now, Dave, that wasn't very nice of you. Remember that night when we broke down in the pouring rain on our way to pick the kids up from the babysitter, and you had to knock on a man's door to ask for you to get started again? What would happen if he had told us to get lost? But the guy is drunk, he said. It doesn't matter. He needs our help, and it would be the Christian thing to do. So her husband gets out of bed, gets downstairs, and he opens the door, not able to see the stranger, when he shouts, hey, you still need a push? And he hears a voice cry out, yeah, please. So still not being able to see the stranger, he shouts, where are you? Replies, I'm over here on your swing. Not the right encouragement he was hoping he would give someone that day, was it? Oh, have you ever needed a hug or an encouraging word or a note came your way just at the right time or someone thought of you when you needed it most? Everybody needs encouragement. It doesn't matter where, who, what we are. We all need encouragement. But my lesson today is not to tell you how to get encouragement. My scriptures are today not for you to claim encouragement. I'm going to talk about how you can be an encouragement to someone else. How we can be encouraging. Now, we all need encouragement. We know that. We all have our days where we need that special something, where maybe someone thought of you or you just need a pat on the back. Have you ever needed a pat on the back? Yeah, all the time. We all do. I hate this one. I mean, haven't you ever just wanted to I'll pick on my sister because she's here from New Mexico. Haven't you ever wanted... Someone to go, oh, are you okay? You know, you're okay. And you just go, oh. You just want to stay there. You just need someone to notice you. You know, you need someone to care. Do you care? Have you ever told your spouse, do you care? I don't care. Just show me you care, you know. We're all that way. Thank you. People surround us every day of our lives just like that. And we don't intentionally mean to not pay attention. And we don't try to not be a helper, a blessing to someone intentionally. We are good people. We're good Christian people. We live our lives for the Lord. But if we're not careful, we'll miss opportunity after opportunity to be a help to someone or an encouragement to someone or a blessing to someone. Are you a fan of anything? Anybody in here fans? Anybody a Laker fan? How about Angel fan? Woohoo! Angel fan. I mean, I can't name anymore, so those are the only two teams I know. Can't name anymore. But you know, when you go to the game or we go to our football games or where we are with our school, our kids, we are so excited to cheer them on. I mean, they get excited. True fans are crazy people. You know, they cheer and root, and they're 100% for their team, and they support the team. And, you know, I have to pick on her. I didn't know she's going to be in this session. But my daughter's in-laws, they're cowboy people. When they have a cowboy game they watch, they have cowboy shirts. You know, they bought my 2-year-old Hudson. He has a cowboy shirt. You know, we're going to watch the football game. You put your cowboy shirt on, you know. At Christmas time, they have a cowboy Christmas tree. I mean, they're fans, and fans just get exuberant, and they get excited about something. Are we fans of anything for the Lord? Do we do that same excitement, that same gush of love like we do for the things of the world? We're going to look at how to be a fan today, F-A-N, that's my outline. It's the shortest outline you'll see, on how to be a fan to encourage people, what we can do to be an encouragement to them. It says in 1 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We want to be used of God. We want to be vessels that we can do and give and be used in a minute's notice. And it doesn't sometimes take much effort to be an encourager. It doesn't. Let's start with prayer. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day you've given us. I thank you for this conference. I pray you'd open our hearts as we tentatively listen to what you would have us to learn. And then, Lord, I pray we would apply it and that we would do it, that we could learn to be an encouragement to someone else. I pray you'd bless this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at four quick things on how you can help to be an encouragement to someone else. Now, I know you need encouragement and you need a hug, but let's set ourselves apart and live selflessly for a minute on how you can be a pump of encouragement to someone else. Christ lived his whole life for others. He never thought of himself. In his entire walk on the earth, those 3 years of ministry, it was always about other people. He never thought, he even said he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was always thinking of others first in his life. That's what we want to do. We want to set aside, I know you're tired. I know you carry burdens. I know you have trials and discouraging times in your life. But today, in these moments, we're going to set self on the shelf, and we're going to do what we can do. My first point is fellowship. F for fellowship. Luke 10:38 tells us about a story. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and into a certain woman named Martha. He received him into her house. Fellowship. It says in Hebrews 10, of course, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, fellowship to me means bonding. Fellowship is where you're going to bond with someone. Now, these are one-on-one. This is a one-on-one fellowship. Now, not everybody can do a one-on-one. Okay, so we'll look at the other ways in a minute. But there could be someone you know, someone that you sit next to, someone that you have in Sunday school class, someone that you're trying to be an encouragement to that just needs extra help. That is the fellowship time. Bible preaching and teaching in church provide another opportunity to hear the Word of God. But in addition to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, you will find fellowship when you're with the believers. You can be a part of an adult Bible class, a Bible study group, a home fellowship, you name it. We can be with friends and get to know people. That's that bonding time. Maybe there's someone you can bond with. There's someone you can fellowship with. You know, God doesn't bring us through and have us have things in our life in vain. They're not for the purpose of hurting you, distracting you, making you bitter and hurt, and some of the lessons that we've heard, making us angry. That's not why we go through the things God has us go through. It's so you can recover and help someone. I mean, if you're going through someone, you should think, boy, Lord, I know someday I'm going to be able to help somebody because I'm really going through it. And if we settle, and we're not talking about trials, but if we focus on us, then we're useless to anybody else because we're suffering in our own self. Christ says, step outside yourself. If you're going through something, if something has happened to you, maybe it's because you're going to help someone. Someone's going to come your way and you're going to know how they feel because you felt it. You're going to know the sorrow they feel because you felt it, and you're still serving the Lord. You'll be able to help them. We have to have. So there could be a fellowship bond that you can have with someone that you can take and see, I can help this person. And that's how sometimes as Sunday school teachers, we look for people who can be a help. This person would be good with this person. They'll encourage each other. They'll understand each other. You can encourage others as you share experiences with those going through the same thing. None of our trials or lessons should be in vain. What you share with someone, you can share with someone the same way you felt. And so we want to have fellowship with each other. And fellowship comes in many ways. It can become, again, fellowship to me is the bonding part. Okay, that's where you take the time to say, so my name is Kay, I've been here 26 years. Is this your first time here? Or someone who's been around a while. So, you know, do you have children? Do you have grandchildren? I love to talk about my grandchildren. Talk about my grandchildren all the time. Do you have grandchildren? What are you doing? You're investing in that person for a minute to get to know them. You're going to fellowship with them. That's that bonding that's going to take place. Maybe I can help her if I see a need that's there. Maybe it's something I can do to encourage her. Maybe she's saying, I'm having a really bad day today. such and such happened at work, and I may lose my job, or I lost my job. All of a sudden, do-do-do-do-do. You know, as Christians, I think...
And there's hurting people everywhere, and even God gives, because sometimes just outright open, I lost my job, and no one listens. No one saw that there's a need there. They lost a job. There's a discouragement there. And we're so, got our heads everywhere about where our children are, or what we have to run to do this, and what we need to do to this, that we missed what the Holy Spirit just said, doo-doo-doo, lost job. Had a fight with husband. My child left this week. I'm alone. I mean, we miss it. We miss the opportunity to be encouraged with someone because we're not paying attention. And it's not because we're bad people. We're just busy. You know what busy stands for? Write it down. Bound under Satan's yoke. That's what busy is. I learned that from Mrs. Chappell. You know what? We're busy people. But if we're not careful, we miss the impulse of the Holy Spirit. We're not encouragement. Find someone you can fellowship with. Someone that you're going to help. How about A for fam? Activities. This is the fun part. Okay, now fellowship is, so, you know, when you got your kids and you're in here, oh, my daughter's going to do this right now. That's that bonding part. But fellowship is, hey, you want to go to lunch? Hey, you want to come over? You want to bring your kids over and let them play with my kids for a while? That, see, people think Christians are boring. The world thinks we're crazy, that we don't do anything fun, we don't look fun, we don't do fun. You know, we're the, Well, I'm sorry, but I beg to differ. Amen. I love being a Christian.
Amen.
It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So I need to train her to, Christian's fun, you want to come over? Now, I know my child may bite your child. my granddaughter is 9 months old. And she's a biter. Yeah. Every time we pick her up in the nursery, she's in solitary confinement. She did again, right? And he's like, yeah, I blame my mother-in-law. That's her nursery. Nicole's mother-in-law. That's her nursery. We have to keep her separate from all the children right now because she's a biter. But how do I get off on that? Oh, when you fellowship and you open to activity, you know, be prepared. You know, my little Timmy and your little, you know, if they have fights, hope it's the insignificant. But if you don't do activities, then you're showing her, you just do church on Sunday? That's all this is about? No, it's not. Does your church have activities? Well, I hope so. I'm sure they do something for you. Somewhere along that church calendar, you have fun. You came here. Don't you? Can you think of one person right now at home that you could think they could have used this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could have heard that message. They could have heard the message I just heard earlier. Well, what do? We go home and encourage them. You missed. Oh, you just can't believe what you missed at that conference. You will not want to miss the next one. You know, activities. Bring along with you. Don't be so busy that we do. Also, activities teach what's important to you. You see, if I never attend anything spiritually that keeps me active spiritually, I'm just showing that person, I teach a ladies class, I'm just showing them, this is some of my ladies I'll pick on, I'm just showing them that it's not important. Because see, they're watching. And then I have to train her, she's a character leader, and I have to train her, they're watching you. If you don't go, why would they go? Mm-hmm. It's not important to you. It's not important. If it's not important to me, why would she go? It's a time of, it's just training to encourage people. You're going to teach them what's important. Activities is the fun part of Christian life. It's getting together and doing things and home fellowships and going to the parks and whatever you've got on your church calendar. Activities. How about in? I told you this would be short. In. This is the easiest one. This is just an example of how the encouragement. Write notes. Write notes.
I mean, what did it take for you to write a note? Honestly, how much time? This is going to be an interesting recording.
Hey.
Paul said in Philippians 1, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Paul was such an encourager. He could step on their toes at the same time and really get on them and rebuke them, but he was always encouraging. And he always remembered it. He was always writing, of course, he wrote the letters to them, telling them, "I am so thankful for you." Well, how long did it take to say, "I am so thankful for you"? It's such a simple way to encourage someone. There's been times in my life where I just needed something, and somebody gave me a card or a note. You know, I'll have people in my class that'll say, "I just got that at the right time." It's so simple. It cost me, well, stamps now, what, 44 cents or whatever stamps are now, to send it. But it's a simple way to encourage a pastor's wife or a pastor or a teacher or a friend going through something. Just a note. See, to write the note, somebody had to think of them. That's the point. It's so they know someone thought of them. Now, we have technology today. What's it called? Texting. How many of you text? Oh, come on, show me text, women. Ooh, it's a big group. Oh, some of them are like, "You're kidding, right?" I saw you shake your head back there. I've even got ladies that don't have computers in my class right now I'm working on. Texting is not as personal. I mean, let's be honest. Texting is not as personal, but it can help. It can be a thought because you still have to type and send it. You know, I can send a text to my brother who's in New Mexico that I rarely ever talk to. We just don't have a lot of communication talk-wise, but he'll text me. I have found that if I send him a text, he'll text me back. Ah, there's a little connection there. So my kids have taught me, they're on me all the time. This phone does those things, so many things, I have no idea. You know, my daughter's like, "Well, Mom, just do Siri and it'll tell you," because we were looking for a place to go. She said, "Just do Siri." I'm like, "What is Siri?" She said, "I've told you before what Siri is." And I'm like, I'm not as bad. My sister's here visiting me and she's dumber than I am. She has no clue about her phone. She has the iPhone. I'm like, okay, I know I'm bad, but you really got to catch up with times. But, you know, texting is a fast way because we do have technology, and emails are fast. They're not as nice as getting a card, but at least you gave someone a thought. What a nice thing. It's an inexpensive, easy way to tell someone thought of me today. Someone heard me say in church Sunday how sad they were. I wish I knew who it was. Someone's in the bathroom while the other session was going on. They went in there and they're in their stall. I don't know who you are, but they're bawling in the stall in the bathroom. And at first, you know, you listen and you think, you know, I think that's crying. And she was crying. Anybody hear that person? You weren't that lady. So I knocked on the door. That's always nice in the bathroom. Hi, it's me. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Can I help you? Can I pray with you about something? Are you all right?" And she said, "No, I'm fine." And I said, "Well, I'm Kay. If you need anything, will you please find me?" I said, "I'd love to incur," you know. It was just a thought. And then I came outside and I was telling someone and said, "Yeah, I heard that lady too." And I thought, did you do anything? See, we hear, but we don't take action on it. I mean, everybody's heart went, "Oh, I heard her too." But what do? We walk away. And we don't take us just 2 seconds to say, "Are you okay? Can I pray with you about something? Is there something you need? Can I hug you?" Yeah, I didn't say that to her. But I would have. If she'd come out, I would have hugged her, you know. Why? Because we don't pay attention. We're not looking for an opportunity to be an encouragement to someone. We're busy on our way. And we miss the opportunity. So a note is just a simple way of saying, then there's 1,000 of them. A hug. I love hugs. I'm a hugging woman. Pastor had to get on to me. He says, you women are really huggers. I said, we are. My whole class, we're just big huggers. Oh, how are you? You know, oh, how are you? We hug. We're hugging people. Now, he told me, as long as you don't hug the men, I'll let you get away with it. So I don't hug men anymore. No, I'm kidding. But a hug is many times helpful. Then there are some people who don't like to be touched. They're usually like, ooh, you know. But that's fine. And that's fine. That's just their personality. That's their thing. But sometimes it's nice to just know, I'm thinking about you. Oh, that's so nice. And then you don't want to move your head. It's like, oh, and they're like, okay, you can go now. You know, like, oh. So hugs are cheap. But notes are great, because sometimes we just need to, someone just needs to know you thought of them. But we didn't pay attention. How many opportunities did we miss because we weren't paying attention? We heard, or we took no action. It's the same thing. If you are impulsed by the Holy Spirit and someone is laid upon your heart, and it happens all the time, you could go down a hall and see someone and you thought, oh, I wonder how they're doing. It was just a quick thought. And you gave that person a thought and you thought, I need to check on that person. And what do? We go back to class, go on to church, and we go home. And what do? We forgot. So I always carry something in my Bible that I can write on. And I'll see someone in the hallway and I go, oh, yeah. Or I'll hear something in the hallway. And I'll go, they just need encouragement. And I'll write that person's name down. Sometimes a prayer helps if you don't know a name. Just pray right then. Lord, that person's hurting. Just help them right now. But write it down, because if you don't, you're like me. You're going to get busy and church is going to keep going and you're going to go on. And then you're going to totally forget. And then that name comes up, or pastor will mention that name. And you go, oh, I saw that person. And I was going to write him a note and I forgot. And then you feel horrible because you felt like God put it on your heart and you didn't do anything about it. And so write it down. Carry a little 3x5 card with you in your purse, your Bible, wherever. Something you can always write on, your bulletin, whatever. Because later there may be something that happens that person knew ahead of time. You had already sent them a note thinking, I'm praying for you. And sometimes you don't have to say, oh, I heard the tragedy of your life. I am praying for you. Just gave you a quick thought today. That's all you have to do. They don't need to know you heard the whole thing happen in the hallway. They just need to know I just gave them a thought today. And write them a note. The last one is be sincere. Be sincere. I think God is just sick of cold. Be sincere. Sincerity. Sorry. Be sincere. Ephesians 6 says, grace be with you. No, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It's not because we don't care, because we're good Christian women. But I think God's sick of it. I think he just looks and shakes his head at Christian churches and people and go, Trumpet's coming soon. I think he's just going to, I don't know if the world is going to make him blow the trumpet early or the Christians are going to make him blow the trumpet, or I don't know. But it's time to be real. It's just time to be real in our Christian life, in our walk. I wish I could say I've never disappointed God, but I can't. In where I've gone, what I've done, what I've said, the way I've lived, I wish I could be and say that, but I haven't. I've had to ask for forgiveness and seek God out in my life. It's just time to be sincere and real about who we are. If we don't love sincerely, people know it. People know it. If I call and say, I have a hurting lady, can you run a meal by her? And she's like, oh, fine, I'll do the meal again. And then she drops it off at the door and says, here's your meal. This husband said you needed one. I'd almost want them not to take the meal because it's not done out of love and sincerity. It's not sincere. It's not doing what the purpose of was to meet the need with that, because we're not sincere. We're not real anymore. It's all fake. And God wants us to be real in our Christian walk and with other people. We need to have true sincerity. Okay, so maybe you say, I'm not an encourager. It's not my spiritual gift. It's a good thing, because you weren't told to have as a spiritual gift. You were just told to meet the needs of others. You don't have to be that great bombastic person that just gets out there and takes everything. You may be the quietest person in the pew, but you can cook a really good chocolate chip cookie, and you can take it to a widow or a mom that's hurting with little kids or a busy mom, and say, just bake these for you. Someone thought of her. Someone cared. You can be an encourager, but it takes sacrifice. It takes our time. It takes our, sometimes maybe a little money for a stamp, but it takes effort to do that. God desires that we live selflessly and serve others. We can serve others by not encouraging, but we can serve others by an encouraging word, a kind note, a small gift, just a hug, a love, or a prayer. But as you move closer in your walk with the Lord, you will be more attentive to the Holy Spirit. And as we get more receptive and closer to the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? We can see things that we didn't see before. We can hear things we didn't hear before. And we'll respond to them because we're Spirit-filled. Who are we fans of? We'll hoot and hop and jump and cheer for fans in a stand and buy the shirts and all, and we go to church and sit in a pew and then go home and not even think of the person next to you that might be hurting, that might need a help or a hug. Two men, both seriously ill, occupied the same hospital room. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for an hour each day to help drain the fluid from his lungs. His bed was next to the room's only window. The other man had to spend all of his time flat on his back. The two men would talk for hours on end. They would speak of their families, their homes, their jobs, where they'd been in the world. And every afternoon when the man in the bed by the window would sit up, they would pass the time as he described to the roommate all of the wonderful things outside the window. The man in the other bed would live for those times where he could listen to all of the activity and the color of the outside world. The window overlooked a park with a lovely lake. Ducks and swans played on the water while children sailed with their boats. Young lovers would walk arm in arm amidst the flowers of every color and every fine view. And there would be a beautiful fine view of the city line in the distance. As the man by the window described all of these exquisite details, the man on the other side of the room would close his eyes and he would imagine this beautiful scene. On one warm afternoon, the man by the window described a parade passing by. And although the other man could not hear the band, he could imagine in his mind's eye as the parade would pass by. Much time passed between these two men. And one morning, the nurse came in, arriving to check the gentleman, and she found the lifeless body of the man by the window who had peacefully died in his sleep. As soon as it was seemed appropriate, the other man asked if he could be moved next to the window. The nurse was happy to make the arrangements, and after making sure he was comfortable, she left him alone. Slowly, painfully, propped himself on his elbow so he could take a look into the outside world. He strained very slowly, and he turned to look out the window beside his bed. It faced a blank wall. The man asked as the nurse came back, what would compel this man to describe these wonderful things outside with a blank wall? The nurse was very puzzled and she responded, I'm sorry, the gentleman was blind. What do you see when you see people? Do we just pass on in our world? Do we not listen and pay attention when the Holy Spirit impresses a name or a face or a situation on your heart and we do nothing about it? People around us are hurting every day and they just want to know somebody cares. Somebody took the time out for them. That's our job. That's who we're supposed to be. We're the pump. We're the ones to give the encouragement. I know you have trials. I know you're hurting. I know you have difficult things every single day in your life. That's life. But it's time we step outside of ourself and we say, Lord, give me someone today I can help. Send me one person. Just send me someone that I can hear or see or do something for. I want to encourage somebody. And guess what? The Lord will do it. He'll send someone your way. Whether it's that neighbor next door, that ornery person, or that person at work that just ticks you off, or that family member, or that church member who's just sitting next to you every single Sunday who has a hurt, no one's paying attention to her. What can you do to ask the Lord to let me be the pump this week? Let's pray.